a service when we appointed Andy as an elder. And then I got a call from Martin to say, things aren't so good at the moment. I've had a heart attack, so I've had to cancel all things. So firstly, Martin, we just want to say it's absolutely amazing that you're here. We thank you so much for that. And Martin and Gaynor are great friends from us. And if you haven't spoken to them, go and ask them. Just say, Martin, Gaynor, tell us a story. Okay. They have got as many stories. If you want to hear the best story ever, okay, Gaynor was a nurse, okay, ask her about the man with a tattoo and a fox. Do you It's one of the best stories I've ever heard. I won't say anything more, but go and ask her about that particular story. Okay, it's really good. Then what happened was that we thought, but we want to get Andy into eldership. And then I spoke to Phil and I said, oh, Phil, is there any time that you could come down? It looks like Martin's out. And then Phil really graciously said, yeah, well, I can do right at the very end of July. So, Phil, we are so grateful for you to coming down and being here. I know you've just got back from holiday and you're really, really busy. But thank you so much for being here. We're really looking forward to it. You're just going to lead us through this next bit, but you're kind of come and share us something about eldership. Very warm round of applause. Phil Wilthew.
Thank you so much, guys. It's great to be here. It is so good to be here. So just great to see where you are and kind of pick up the buzz of what's going on. I hear you're full of Persian food as well. So Duncan was slightly worried you were all going to be asleep at this stage. So if you see someone nodding off, just give them the elbow. But it's honestly really, really great to be here. And I was just so excited to come down and be with you for this moment because it's a real kind of family celebration moment to pray Andy into eldership. And I was on a plane with Duncan to Munich where we just began to kind of chat a little bit about this. I was like, I'd love to come if I can. And he also tried to convert me to gardening, which he, I think, failed at. He failed at. And Saracens, which he also failed at. But I know. But yeah, I know. Come on, you blues. So I'm. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Phil, and I come from Bedford. I grew up in Brighton originally, then went up north to Newcastle, where I worked and was an elder in a church there, and I'm now in Bedford. So I'm kind of gradually heading my way back south, heading my way down. And I always love coming back into London, partly because it reminds me of my wife. So I've been married 21 years, and Carol, she comes from Southeast London. Obviously, it's not as good as North London, I know, but she was born in Greenwich and then kind of grew up in Southeast London, and she wasn't part of a Christian family at all growing up. Her dad was a tiler by trade, an avowed atheist, and so she grew up with no kind of knowledge of God. Apart from when she was 3 years old, she opened a Christmas cracker, and inside the Christmas cracker was a little plastic baby Jesus. And she remembers as a three-year-old standing on her chair at the dining room table and lifting little baby Jesus above her head. And she declared to our whole family, I love baby Jesus, and I'm always going to love him. So as a three-year-old. And yet it was many years later. She was at 15 and she was in a street gang in London. And her and her street gang had just kind of vandalized some toilets in Sidcup. Oh. I know. I didn't want to mention the name because I knew you'd say that. But they were kind of in the woods and most of them were kind of drunk or high. And she remembers just as a 15-year-old kind of looking around the kind of clearing at her friends. And she just had this thought, there has to be more to life than this. And it was just like a moment of kind of clarity came to her. And she remembers walking away from the crowd on her own into the woods. And she just got down on her knees and she said, God, if you are really there, if you really exist, I have to know. And she said instantly the Holy Spirit came on her so powerfully that she just sobered up in a moment. And she said, the reality of God's presence was so powerful, it scared her. And she said, even to this day, it's still the most powerful encounter with God she's ever had. And instantly she knew that God was real. And soon after, she phoned up a friend, rather sheepishly, because she used to beat this friend up at school. And she's like, I know you're a Christian. Can I come to church with you? And so this friend of hers met her at the end of an alley with six of her friends because she was scared she was going to get beat up again. And she took Carol to church and she gave her life to Christ there and then. So just I love that story. But I love coming back to London because it just kind of reminds me just of those roots of her story in God. And, you know, today really is a special occasion just as we kind of pray Andy in a few moments. It really is going to be like a family affair. We're just going to dive in and we're going to just really bless you, mate, and just, you know, tell you how much we love you. That's as much as anything. That's what today is about. It's just to say you are so valued in this church. And really what's happening today is a recognition of what God has already done. And we're just putting our blessing to that and just saying we love you and we value you and you too, Zoe. And this is just a moment of really celebrating together. And what I want to do just for a few moments before we get to pray and we bring the kids back is just to say a few little things about eldership as the Bible sees it. And really one of the beautiful gifts that God gives to the church are men who are called to serve and lay down their lives for the church. And there are different kind of terms sometimes used for the word elder. Sometimes we use the word senior leaders or pastors. These words are all kind of interchangeable. And another biblical word is elder. And these are gifts from God to help shepherd the flock, to shepherd the people of God. And again, I remember the very first time I met Carol's dad, as I was meeting him for the first time. He never set foot in a church, I don't think. And he said, so what do you do? What do you do for a living? Like, what do you want to do? And I shared a few things. He said, oh, what about your dad? What does your dad do? I said, oh, my dad's a pastor. And he said, oh, that's brilliant. That's great. What does he do? Like, what sort of things does he plaster? I said, no. He's not a plasterer. He's a pastor. And he looked at me very confused. He's like, a pastor? What's a pastor? I was like, you know, he helps, I don't know, lead a church. Oh. And he looked very unimpressed all of a sudden. And he's like, what does he do other than on Sundays? Like, and we had this conversation, you know. But biblically, Scripture really values eldership. And in fact, 1 Timothy 3 says that he who desires to be an overseer or an elder desires a noble thing. And so, Andy, today, you are desiring a noble thing. A valued thing in the sight of God, to be a shepherd in God's house. And Scripture tells us a few key things about how elders are appointed and recognized. Firstly, is that elders are actually appointed by the Holy Spirit. So today really is a recognition of something that God has done. This is what we read in Scripture. This is in Acts. Paul says to some elders, he says, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. So the first key thing about serving as an elder, whether that's for Duncan or Jerry or for Andy today, is that these guys have actually been called by the Holy Spirit to do this. See, you don't go to Elder University and get your certificate. That's not how it works. This is something that God actually has asked them to do. And that's really important that you carry an internal sense of Jesus has asked me to do this. And that's important because there will be moments where you feel like not doing it. And in those moments, you come back to the fact that I didn't sign up to this. Jesus signed me up to this. He called me. The Holy Spirit appointed me for this work. And today what we're doing is really just blessing and recognizing something that God has already done. The second thing about elders is that elders are recognized by other people. Acts 14:23, we read this. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the church, care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So firstly, the Holy Spirit appoints elders, but secondly, that is recognized by other people. Firstly, it should be recognized by the church that they're going to be eldering in. That's you. In other words, it should feel today completely normal. In fact, many of you be like, I thought Andy was already an elder. And that is exactly how it should be. You should think, oh, I thought he already was. And that's it. Because in that moment, you actually are receiving and recognizing something that has already happened in this guy's life. He is already a servant of this church. He is already a leader in this church. He is already laying his life down in this church. And you recognize that. And also, there's people like Martin and myself and others who are coming in and saying, we just recognize the hand of God upon you. We recognize the grace of God upon you to serve in this way. And we recognize he is setting you apart for this. And we had a great kind of coffee on Friday, just kind of connecting and chatting. And without a doubt, you can just see the hand of God on your life. And today's about just recognizing that and say, we see it. We see the Holy Spirit resting on you. And I want to say as well that there's something about laying hands on someone to become an elder. Although we're recognizing in a way something that's already happened, this is a spiritual moment. So I've been prayed in twice to be an elder, once in the church in Newcastle and then in the church that I'm now in Bedford. And both times there was a spiritual transaction when you lay hands on. And in one sense, you feel like, am I really going to feel any difference on the other side of becoming an elder? It's a little bit like getting baptized, if you've ever been baptized. In one sense, it's a step of obedience into something that God has called you to do. But also there's something about baptism and laying hands on eldership. There's a spiritual moment. There's a spiritual impartation. And I believe when we pray for you, there's going to be an impartation of the grace of God for you to do things that you couldn't do before. And there's going to be an impartation of wisdom that you didn't have before. There's going to be something that happens in the spiritual realms that God is going to give you in this moment. And so I want to encourage us when we pray to really pray with faith, to pray with a sense of expectation that God is here. And this is a moment where we're going to receive more than we asked or imagined. It's that kind of a moment. Another thing we know about elders is that elders are called to be shepherds who serve. 1 Peter 5, Peter says this, as a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. I mean, that is quite a promise right there. So he's speaking to elders and he's like, if you serve like Jesus serves, you are going to receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Come on. And I'm just taking that in for myself right now. Like that's quite a promise. And what Peter's saying is actually, the way leadership works in the church is totally countercultural to the way it often works in the world. In other words, in the world, we think of hierarchy. We think CEO, top of the food chain, you're the one who says how things go around here and everyone else is beneath you. That's not how it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, leadership is totally topsy-turvy. In other words, leaders are the bottom of the pile empowering everybody else. The goal of leadership in the kingdom is a descent into greatness. Okay, it's a competition as to who can get the lowest and empower the most people. Jesus said, listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom, then learn how to wash one another's feet. Learn how to get low. The greatest in the kingdom will be the least. That's how it works. It's totally countercultural. And today what we're not doing is saying, right, Andy, you are now top of the food chain. You're now top of the hierarchy. Well done. You've reached the summit of the pyramid. Woohoo! That's not what we're doing today. In the kingdom, it's an upside down pyramid, whereas leaders are at the bottom of the food chain saying, we are here to serve. We're here to lay down our life. We're here to give everything that we have to make you the best that you can be. We are here to serve. We're to bring the best out of you. I'm here to make much of you, not much of me. It's to be like Jesus. And it's fascinating, isn't it? We think about it. You think, where does servanthood begin? And ultimately the answer is, it never had a beginning because God is the eternal servant. Do you know, the best definition of love I ever came across is this, is that God eternally gives of himself to others. Just listen to that again. Definition of love. God eternally gives of himself to others. That's what love is. That you would lay down your life for your friends. And today, that's what we're doing. We're saying, we're appointing you to lay down your life for this church. And that is a beautiful privilege because you're actually walking in the footsteps of Christ. You're walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And there is a reward and a promise of his presence with you as you do that. And then the last thing just to say about elders is that one of the key callings of elders as fathers in the church is to set culture. You ever noticed how families look like their parents? That's scary, isn't it, sometimes? You look at your kids and you're like, where did you get that from? You got it from me. And that's how it works. It works by osmosis because the best leadership is about modeling. It's about example. It's about setting culture. It's about saying, don't just do what I say, but do what I'm modeling. Culture setters in the church. I remember once scaring my parents, and my dad was a Baptist pastor, my parents were Christians, and I remember once as a little boy walking down the street and just saying to my parents, you two don't act much like Christians. And I remember they stopped me in the street and they're like, what did you say? I said, you two don't act much like Christians. And they're like, oh no, what do you mean? What have we done? And I was like, no, you two, you know, the rock band, they don't act much like Christians. And they like breathed as a sigh of relief. You know, because as parents, you want to model something to your kids. You know, you're setting an example by the way in which you live. Dr. Michelle Rayner said this, the best thing you can do to help others take responsibility is to authentically practice the behaviors that you want others to practice. And one of the role of elders in the church is to set culture and is not just to say great things, but also to model the right things. And that's why eldership is less actually about skill and it's a lot more to do with character. It's a lot more to do with substance than it is to do with glitz and the stuff on the outside. It's about how do you serve your boss at work? How do you raise your children? How do you speak to the newcomer on a Sunday morning? How do you practice hospitality in your home? I think one of the reasons why hospitality is so high on the list of eldership qualifications is that God actually wants you inside an elder's home to see what their life looks like. Because it's not just about the mouth, it's about the life, a life well lived. It's interesting that Jesus didn't spend any money on marketing. He never wrote a book. You know, he never did a marketing campaign. He never hired big lights and a big stage. But he just entrusted who he was to 12 guys and expected that they would just reproduce what they'd seen in him. What you've seen in me, go and do. And that's the model of eldership. What you've seen in me, go and do. And that doesn't mean that we hold elders to an impossibly high standard. And I think one of the most powerful words when you serve in the church as a leader is sorry. Seriously. I remember when I first came to King's Arms, chatting to Simon, who leads our team. He says, every year I look for at least one thing that I can apologize for to the church. He's like, I deliberately ask God to give me at least one thing a year that I can apologize for in public to everybody. Because I am modeling in that moment what leadership looks like. Because ultimately, people follow leaders that they can trust. They don't follow leaders that they think are perfect. And I would just encourage you guys, even as an eldership team, that what is more important than you being perfect is that you be leaders that men and women can trust because you walk in the light as he is in the light. You model authenticity. And I think you guys do that already very, very well. So guys, what we're going to do now is we're going to have a family celebration moment. And before we get the kids back, what I'd love to do is just invite Andy and Zoe just to come up and just say a few words, because I think when we're praying for someone, it's just great to get even a snapshot of someone's heart before we pray for them. So can we just stand and let's just applaud and welcome these guys just as they come and share their heart with us a little bit.
So I won't keep you too long. I just want to, before I go on to say what I'm really excited about, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to God for one. I think Ephesians 2 has been really speaking to me. It's by grace that I've been saved through faith, and this is a gift of God that's placed upon me.
Yeah, so good.
So thankful for what he is doing and the mercy and the grace that he's shown me, but also what you guys are showing as well in appointing us and putting us in this trusted position. We love you all. We love what's going on here. We love the fact that we get to lead in this place. We're so privileged to be in this position. We thank you for putting us in this place. Going forward, what am I really excited about? I think over the last few years, we've been bringing in some cultural stuff. We've been bringing in going after present salvation and transformation. And just some of the stuff that we're already seeing come to pass. You know, when I look at what Laura's doing in Baby Basics, I know it's been mentioned already today, but 44 hampers given out to vulnerable mums in their area. You know, that is the kingdom of God being spread like seeds. And just for leaders to step up, when I look at someone like Sandy and the 48 hours of prayer stuff and what she's done over the last few years in bringing us back to our knees again, afresh and anew, and just more of that coming through. But I'm just amazed by what we have in this church. You know, the people that are here, I just stood there in worship and I just thought there is great power to see the kingdom of God come in this place. There's great power, and I'm excited for London, to be honest. I'm excited for what we have from these guys overseeing us and coming in and giving us what they have and feeding into us, but the gathering of other churches as well, like the Well coming with us, Sally and the Stable coming with us. You know, it's just exciting to see what God is doing with us working together, and I'm just really expectant, to be honest, about what God is going to do in the kingdom for this moment. So that's my...
I was trying to think before how long I've been in this church, and I think it's nearly 15 years. So I just wanted to, it's a real privilege really for us to be in this position, and just to wanted to say thank you to everyone who's grown us really over the years. And yeah, we kind of stand here, and Andrew stands here, because of so many people in this room and, you know, who've been in this church. So yeah, just thank you for so much input over the years. And in terms of what I'm excited about, there was a lyric in the song earlier, which is just, "Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free." And I think that really encapsulates what I'm excited about. As Andrew says, the things that are already happening, so much happening in the church, and just seeing that more and more happen. And I think there's something, although there's a sense in which, you know, when you think about, will anything change tomorrow? And maybe not in the practical, but actually a spiritual significance of today, and just seeing what happens in the coming years. Yeah.
Hey, this is great. Should we get the kids back in? Yeah. Let's go and get the kids back in. It's really good. Hopefully they'll have eaten their sandwiches. And just, I wanted to just maybe give you some context, and you think, why is it that, like, is Phil, like, involved in appointing elders, and why is it that, you know, Martin was up or was going to come up and is now here today? And you think, do you know, appointing elders is always actually supposed to be done by somebody outside of the church. If you look in the New Testament, Paul traveled around appointing elders in churches and establishing them, and there's a really good reason for that. You don't vote elders in, do you know what I mean? You see somebody who you feel God has on them, and then you work out, who am I submitting to as a church? Who are we submitting to as a church? Who are we saying, we value your input so much that we want you to come in and have this really key? And it's really important, and I just need to let you know, it's really important for me, and for Jerry also, as the other elder at the moment, to say, no, we submit to other people. And we really gladly submit to, you know, these guys. And like, we just love having your input. We love having your input. And we're thinking, it's really important for us. And it's this sense of security and safety, and also this phenomenal, joyful sense of we are partnering with other people to see the kingdom coming, which is very, very exciting. So are the kids in? Or are they just finishing off their good. Some of them are in a ride. So I think what we're going to do now is, in a minute, we're going to get Andy and Zoe just here. And I'd like us, just to all of us in a moment, as the kids come in, to stand up
and to come and gather around it. Now, I know there are some people who've been praying and have got prophetic words for them. I think Pete's been asking me for probably about a few months, when are we going to do it, because he's got a few words for them, which is just fantastic. We think, oh yeah, come on, we want that. And I think there's other, Christina's got a prophetic word for them as well. But can I, Naomi, do you want to come down here, love? Yeah. Hey. Fantastic. So can I just invite you to stand? And why don't some of us just come down, and Jerry and Caroline, it'd be great if you guys could come down. Let's just come around and gather around these people. Let's have a few more people coming and praying. If you want to pray, wave at me and I'll give you the microphone, if that's okay.
Pete, do you want to? Yeah, I just... First of all, Andy and Zoe, I just think God just is so delighted with you. I just think today you can hear the angels clapping. There is a celebration. And I also feel that this morning, or this afternoon even, that God, Andy, wants to say to you that I'm going to give you a new ministry. And I really saw you were praying for the sick. And actually you were praying for people who had physical illnesses, and they were being healed. And actually God says, I'm giving you this gift so that you can share your heart, which is the kingdom. Because actually what I want you to do is I want to let you tell people that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the King of Kings, that the kingdom of God is here. And I really, just as I was praying, just felt reminded of Colossians 3. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. And I just feel God says that today is a new day. And that actually, when Jesus was baptized, God said, I'm my son, I am well pleased. And this morning, I just feel God says, Andy, in you, I am well pleased. And my delight and favor is upon you. Bless you, in Jesus' name.
Andy, I'm really excited, and congratulations on being our elder. Every time we are together, when we pray, even during the prayer and fasting, I always saw that you remove your shoes. I don't always look at your feet, okay? Many times I've told you that God is going to give you new shoes. So God has told me in a prophetic air to give you a new pair of shoes. Hey, yeah. So I felt that this is just a prophetic act, that you are actually, God is giving you a new pair of shoes, and this is your new season. I just felt that God says that you can enlarge your tent. Isaiah 54:1, I'm enlarging your tent, but in more ways than others. So I just feel that in this season, sometimes you feel that the shoes might be too big for you to wear, but God say, hang on, Andy, I'm with you. I'm with you because I am holding your hands. Your shoes is what I put it on for you. Go and run. Go and run for me. I just say that God say, well done, my son. Well done.
Yeah, just Phil, as we were worshipping earlier, and it's interesting that when Phil said at the end about trust, I knew that God wanted me to say this. And I feel like the Lord would say this, that I am a father that loves my children. I love my children dearly, and I have plans for them. I have a future for them, a destiny for them. My kingdom will advance through them in these days. And you were one that I chose. You two guys, not just one, because I can trust you. I know your heart, and I can trust you. I know your ways, and I can trust you. I know you because you spend time with me. And so I want to speak that you are my child, whom I trust, and don't hold this lightly. that my people will advance through North London, through North London and beyond, because of what you carry. And it's because of my trust in you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Father, I want to thank you that you set apart Andy and Zoe many years ago, actually. And today is just almost just the culmination. It's just a moment in their journey. But it's a really, really special moment today. And we just, even as Phil's just sharing what it is to be an elder, everything he says, we just say, yeah, that's Andy. Yeah, that's Zoe. Yeah, there's nothing there that we don't recognize in this wonderful man, this wonderful couple, this wonderful family. And we just praise you for that. We celebrate today this amazing journey that Andy and Zoe, particularly Andy, is on, Father. And we just recognize that Andy is set apart for this day. And we want to thank you, Jesus, that you do things a long time ago to bring us to these moments and these places. And we just say, Lord, would you now open the floodgates of heaven? Would something happen in the spiritual realm right now, Father, as we pray for Andy to become an official elder in this church, Lord? And we just say, Lord Jesus, would tomorrow be different, Father, because of today? Would tomorrow be different because you have set apart this man to be an elder in Trinity Church, this time, this place, today? And thank you, Jesus, for that, we say. Amen.
Andy and Zoe, just hear the Father saying, I am deeply pleased with both of you. I just want to really confirm what Christine has brought in Isaiah 54:1. That's the verse we've been praying for you both all week. So the Father's really speaking to that. I just hear him say, enlarge your vision. Keep your eyes focused on me. Enlarge where you're looking at. Keep your eyes focused on me. As you spend time with me, resting in my presence, I'm going to break your heart in ways you don't know for the people. I had the Lord saying that you're going to be working with prostitutes in the future and you're going to be walking them into freedom. And the Lord saying that you are going to be showing his deep compassion to others in ways that you can't even imagine yet. I hear freedom being spoken over both of you. I hear Father saying that when you speak, it brings his words into situations and you're going to bring the full sense of his presence there. That you're going to shine Jesus' love out to this world. Bless you both.
Father, we pray for Andy and Zoe with great joy in our hearts, Lord, and kind of pride in them that you certainly have pride in them. You're proud of them, Lord. And Lord, thank you for this time of public, as it were, recognition. But Lord, I thank you. The calling of God is on them, Lord. It's not just a thing for the church. This is heaven rejoicing as well. Lord, we thank you that your plans and purposes are coming to pass for your children here, for Andy and Zoe, but also for the whole church. This is a step on for the whole church, a step up for the whole church, a new day for the whole church, a new time of your moving here in this area, around and about. And the Lord says to you, Andy, this is indeed my calling on your life. Don't doubt it. Don't fight it. Don't at times just seek to kind of lay it down because I've laid it on you. And this is my calling for you. And I'm saying to you, just be your authentic selves. Don't try and copy anyone. Don't try and be anything that you're not. Don't try and compete. Don't try and impress. The Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Be a man who is both slow and quick. Be a man who learns to wait for the anointing, but once that anointing has come, then go with confidence. You're to be a man who waits and goes. You're a man to be a man who is slow and quick. And that will be your strength, one of your strengths. You will bring such wisdom at times to say, let's slow down here, let's wait here. Or other times you'll find a spirit of faith on you. And I call you, be sensitive to the spirit of faith. For when God says go, then you go. And don't hold back. But wait for the empowering. Wait for the anointing. And be slow in the presence of God. Wait in the presence of God. But when it's time to rise up and go, you go with great confidence. Because I'm calling people. I will give you people from the east and the west and the north and the south from here. I'm going to enlarge the place of your tent. I say lengthen the ropes and strengthen the stakes, because the tent is going to expand here. The tent's going to grow here. This tent is going to be much bigger than it was. And people are going to come under the covering of this tent. And it's going to be because people like you, Andy, grow in strength in the Lord and grow in confidence in God and know that I am with you. I'm with you to give you success in the work of God, but nevertheless, don't look for success. Look for my presence. Look for my wisdom. Look for my anointing, because it's not by might or by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And you would often doubt whether you can or whether you should, but know that it's by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm with you. I'm with you here in this place, in this church. Know that the tent is going to expand. The stakes are going to be uprooted, but they're going to be bashed in further out, as it were. And the ropes are going to be lengthened. There's going to be an expansion. There's going to be a growth. And they'll, whatever battles and whatever fights there will be in this, know that I will give you the victory. I will surely give you the victory, because I've decreed victory for you. I've determined that's what's going to happen. I'm with you. And there's a new phase, a new time, a kind of new tent that's much bigger for what you're going to be doing. And you will become bigger people in order to be able to do it. Bigger in faith, bigger in vision, bigger in wisdom, bigger in humility. I'm with you. I'm with you both, says the Lord. Amen.
Just the last few praying, but John.
Father God, I just want to thank you for redeeming and justifying Andrew and Zoe and bringing them together into this family, Lord, part of your family here. And I just pray in this great responsibility that you've given him and Zoe, that you'll be with him, you'll walk with him, your Holy Spirit will lead him, Lord, and that his ministry will be fruitful, full of your love, Lord. And through him, Lord, please bring a blessing onto this church here. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
When you were born, Zoe, the day after you were born, I took you in my arms and I sang over you for what was going to be a short time. I started to worship, but it went on for perhaps 30 to 40 minutes, and I was strangely aware that I was singing something which went back for generations. It was a tongue I'd never experienced. It was a mode of song I'd never experienced, and I knew that God was singing something over you. And I didn't know the interpretation, but I feel in God now that I would like to sing over you again, both of you. And I know John and Sue won't be offended by this, but Andrew, I feel you're as much my son as Zoe is my daughter in God. Korayama yashoryamo, Korayama yashoryama, yamo koramayayo, koramayamo romay, koramai mananakamo. Koramai amorama. Karama, karama, kamo. Hayamora, hayamo. Hayamoria. If anyone has the interpretation of that, I'd be very happy to hear it.
I mean, the Ancient of Days says that you are mine. The Ancient of Days says you are mine. You are mine. Way back, you are mine.
Yes.
The Ancient of Days says you are mine. There's a purpose that the Ancient of Days has for you.
I feel that part of that interpretation of what Joe sung over you in tongues was the Lord would say that I'm giving you this child. I'm giving you this child, my Lord. I'm handing my child to you. This is no longer mine, but yours, O God. I love you. I worship you with everything that I have. And now I worship you with my child. And I feel, Zoe, for you, and Andy, for you, that there has been a song that has been sung over you all your life. And at times that song has been loud, and sometimes it's just been quietened down, and you haven't heard it. But I believe that you are moving in time, and in the pattern and the rhythm of the song that has been sung over you, and it's a song of exquisite love, and joy and delight, and it's a song of adventurous faith, and it's a song of risky faith, and it's a song of humility and delight. But there is this song, and I believe that actually God is saying that he is so delighted that as Joe sung over you, Zoe, as you were sort of like just hours old, actually both of you have submitted yourself to this song that has been sung over you. And I feel that today is just almost, it's another verse in the song. It's not a culmination, it's nothing. It's another verse in this exquisite song that he is singing over you and calling you to himself and saying, no, you are my beloved children. I've got things for you to do. I have adventures for you to go on. I have like people for you to speak to. I want to do miraculous things in your midst. But it all stems from this place of being a beloved daughter and a beloved son of human parents, but also the beloved children of your heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to pray, Lord, that as Andy steps into eldership in this church, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, it would all come from this place of being, knowing that he is loved by you. Lord, that security that comes from you. Lord, we thank you for this couple so much, Lord. Our lives are richer. Our lives are fuller. Lord, our lives are more fun because these people are with us, standing with us, and we thank you for them. And so we appoint you as an elder in this church, Andy, and we declare over you goodness and mercy, and we declare over you authority, and we declare over you sort of the understanding of God to speak wisdom and judgment into all sorts of different situations. Not the judgment of a harsh God, but the so that sense of the loving King speaking his words into his church. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you.
Thank you, Father. Guys, just as we, I think, try and bring this in for a landing, what I'd love us to do is just pray for the three guys together, because this is not just one man. He's one man joining a team. And there's something that's going to accelerate in this team just as well as it's going to accelerate in Andy. So I want to perhaps Jerry, Duncan, Andy, why don't you guys just come together in the middle right here. I wonder if we can just for just a moment lift our voices together, stretch our hands out towards these guys, and let's just pray for the exponential blessing of God on this team. God's given these guys as a gift to you as a church family, and they need your prayers. So why don't you stretch out your hands wherever you are, and let's just lift our voices together, and let's just pray for the blessing and the anointing of God. Thank you, Father God. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus for your blessing to rest on each one of these guys. Father, keep them, bless them, anoint them, guard them. Lord, I just pray for blessing on their team, blessing on their relationships, blessing on the way their gifts interact with one another. Father, pray where brothers dwell in unity that you would command a blessing. Father, we just pray for a new season, a new era of teamwork. As each part does its work in the body. But I just thank you for giving these men to one another, to guard their friendships, their marriages. Father, guard them from burnout. Guard them from Lord, running too hard. I pray all the right things for them in the right season. Bless them, bless them, bless them. More than they can ask for. Far beyond their wildest dreams. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father, today in the name of Jesus, we just bless this team. We bless this team in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We just pronounce the favor of God upon this team. I just pronounce the protection of God on this team. I just pronounce the favor of God on your friendships with one another, on the different gifts working in harmony with each other. Father, I pray, just as this is a new day for Andy, let it be a new day for this team. Father, we just say blessing, 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 more than they can ask or imagine. Father, we thank you for all that you want to do in North London through this team. Thank you, Father, this is bigger than even just Trinity Church. Thank you, this is about what you're doing in this part of this nation at this time. And so, Father, we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just anticipate with great expectation what's going to come from this day, the advance that's going to come from this moment. Father, we just pray blessing on your families, on your marriages, favor on your children, favor on this church. I pray that as you lean into him, that you would get far more done by accident than ever you have done on purpose, because Jesus is the head of the church. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Where's the